taking the pulse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke, looking for clues as to how the economy's coming along this morning. Procter & Gamble says quarterly profits fell 18% from last year. Things like Pampers and Tide and Olay lotion not selling as well as they used to. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management.
Households in general have reduced their discretionary spending, and I guess you have to consider, you know, Olay and all those type of things as maybe discretionary spending. But the second part of it is also consumers also trading down to cheaper brands.
And some economic figures just out this morning. The government says new factory orders rose unexpectedly in June, and a private gauge of employment, the ADP report, showed employers cut 371,000 jobs last month. That is 20% fewer than they dropped in June, but it's also more job cuts than economists were expecting. The Senate Banking Committee is talking this hour about how the government ought to regulate one of the culprits of the financial crisis, the ratings agencies. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is here live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Now, remind us why the rating agencies are under the microscope in the first place.
Well, the rating agencies put very high ratings on some of the securities that went bad and caused that domino effect back in the fall. Investors rely very heavily, sometimes entirely, Bill, on ratings when they decide what to invest in. And the fact that the rating agencies are paid by the very issuers whose debt they rate has brought up time and again, has been brought up as a conflict of interest issue.
Right. So there's been all this talk about regulating these agencies. That's what this hearing's about now?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that the Treasury Department's Assistant Secretary for Financial Institutions, Michael Barr, is making the case that the government should be careful about regulating the rating agencies because he says that would mean that the government is indirectly putting its stamp of approval on the ratings. Here he is answering a question just a little bit ago from the chairman of the banking committee, Chris Dodd, who asked why he should have any confidence in the ratings if the government isn't making sure they're doing their due diligence.
It doesn't give me any confidence, sir. I'm not suggesting that, but I think that we should not inflate the confidence level that the rating agencies would have on the basis of that level of due diligence.
And Bill, whatever Congress does with regards to the rating agencies will be another part of the Obama administration's massive financial regulation overhaul, which we expect by the end of the year.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us live. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. Stocks trading lower this morning. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the Dow are all down a little over 1%, so the Dow has lost 104 points. It's at 9,215. European stocks are lower as well, as were Asian shares earlier in the day. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, hits the theaters this week. It's got all the trappings of a big-budget summer movie. Explosions, check. Toy tie-ins, check, $175 million price tag. But when it comes to Hollywood, G.I. Joe has gone AWOL, as Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
This is General Hawk. The mission is a go.
Instead of a glitzy premiere in Los Angeles, G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra has been screening on military bases. Paramount is also promoting the movie heavily in cities like Columbus, Ohio, and Kansas City. Pop culture expert Robert Thompson says it's a smart tactic.
You know, we're going to open this in the heartland, where real Americans live. And then, of course, the added touch of opening at Air Force bases. And it's a great public relations device.
Paramount has also shut out most mainstream movie critics. Jason Squire is the editor of the Movie Business Book.
It is a good policy to say, let the public decide. It's a review-proof movie.
Squire says Paramount is hoping for another Transformers. Revenge of the Fallen was pounded by critics, then earned more than $400 million at the box office.
Now I know. And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The Obama stimulus package includes $8 billion for high-speed rail. But is money enough? Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus is just back from Japan. He's asking himself that question. David, welcome.
Thank you.
You went to Japan, you rode the rails, what'd you see?
Not just the rails, I rode everything they could throw at me. Bullet trains, express trains, commuter trains, subways, monorails. It's remarkable because you think of Japan as being a very expensive place. It's all affordable, it's all very smooth, and it's all very on time.
So how could we ever get something like that over here?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's what I put to the experts when I said, look, why can't we have something like what the Europeans have or the Asians have right here in the United States? And they said, it's more complicated than if you build it, they will come. It turns out there's many moving parts to making public transportation a big success, not least of which the real trick is getting people out of their cars. And in Europe and Asia, well, that's a slightly different thing. They've got a different culture. Here, we look at cars as our God given birthright, and any sort of policy that's going to do that is probably going to fail politically, not least of which parking. Big factor in this. If you don't make parking prohibitively expensive, like, say, in New York, people will take their car everywhere for any purpose. That's one of the first things you have to do. Toll roads, another thing. High gas taxes, another thing. Well, these are all very politically challenging things to do in the United States.
So you didn't find a single flaw in your Japanese rail adventure?
Well, there was one flaw. There was a day when I was going through the mountains of Kyushu, and there was a major thunderstorm. There was delays. These guys in uniform from the railway company came out and they bowed and they apologized and they waived the fee for the rest of the trip. Well, that might be an inconvenience, but I wish we had something like that here.
I will never treat you that well.
I appreciate that.
David Lazarus, business columnist at the LA Times. Thanks.
A pleasure.
And finally, should the Indian dish chicken tikka masala be patented by Scotland? A restaurateur named Ahmed Aslam Ali claims he invented the dish at his Indian restaurant in Glasgow, Scotland in the 70s. He says a customer told him his chicken tikka was dry, so he cooked it in the masala sauce. Now some Scottish MPs are asking the European Union to recognize it as a Scottish dish. Indian food historians say the exact origin is unclear, but they say Scotland's claim is preposterous. The Dow's down 91 points. I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.